Welcome to Maximum Impact, reaching you from the Citadel of Impact, Abuja, New Estate Baptist Church. We enjoin you to open your mind and connect with the Lord as we receive engrafted words. Get ready to be greatly blessed as we join His anointed servant.
Father, our hearts are open for you. Our spirits ready to receive your word. The Bible says that your word gives light and understanding. We declare, let your light shine upon our hearts. Let your word bring direction to our lives. Let your spirit transform our lives. May nobody leave this place the same way we have come. Let there be a fresh encounter. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Can you shout that amen again? You may be seated in the house this morning. What an awesome privilege to stand before you to share God's word. I do not take it for granted. It's a privilege. I want to thank the senior pastor of this church for this privilege to stand in this exalted altar to share God's word. It's a privilege. I want to thank the leadership of the church also for this privilege. Like has been said, today is what we call pulpit exchange in the Baptist, where within the association or within the conference, we'll be shared around to go to different churches. Pastors change their pulpit and we are able to minister to a different congregation. And today I am also privileged to be here with my lovely wife. Please help me celebrate my wife. I don't like the way you are celebrating her, actually. Thank you. Shefumi Iluba, thank you for supporting this work God has placed in our hands. I also want to bring to our notice some of the Baptist things we do. I want to thank the leadership of this church for joining the association and the conference and the convention. I thank you so much. I cannot be thankful enough. Thank you for being a part of all of the things God is doing in the Baptist now. And today being the pulpit exchange, I just want to keep encouraging us to be involved in the cooperative programs of the Baptist Church, the Baptist work that is going on. We have associational meetings. We have conference meetings. Next month, by God's grace, we'll be going for the convention. I appeal that the church should also send some delegates to see what is happening in the convention. We work together. And when we work together, we are able to achieve more. To push it further, the conference, FCT Baptist Conference, is also trying to set up her secretariat, to build up a secretariat. And we appeal on behalf of the conference president that we participate as a church. So after the at the right time, the offering will be taken for that purpose. And I want to appeal that we give and give and don't stop giving for the work of God in FCT as we build our secretariat. And lastly, we are going to have Baptist Day, the one for your association. Our Father in the Lord here will let us know. It's going to be sometime towards the end of March or the first week of April, where we will meet with other Baptists in the different churches and associations. And together, we'll lift up holy hands to praise God as Baptists and also to know some more things as a denomination and as the people of God. So please, when that call is made, do not be left behind. Let's participate and see how God will continue to move His church forward in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much. Let's rise up together as we read God's word. If you have your Bible, I want you to carry it now. If you don't have one and you have it electronically, please stand up as we read together. Romans chapter 8. Please stand up wherever you are for the reading of God's word. Romans chapter 8. We are going to read from verse 1 to verse 8. To verse 17, and we'll read it responsively. As I read the first, you read the second loudly. I read the third, and we'll read it on until we get to 17. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let's read verse 17 loudly together. And if And this is the word of God. Be seated in the house. And God began to lead our Father in the Lord over this assembly to declare that this season is our season of living in the supernatural. The season of living in the supernatural. A supernatural life is a life that is lived beyond the natural. A supernatural life is a life that is under the control of the Holy Ghost. The word supernatural is attributed to some force behind or beyond the scientific understanding. Beyond the scientific understanding or beyond the law of nature. It is not an ordinary life. A supernatural life is an extraordinary life. We live in a world where you cannot choose to live your life anyhow. We live in a world where you must hold something, because we live in a world where the physical world is being controlled by the spiritual. For the things that are being seen are controlled by the things which are not seen. And that is why we cannot live our life carelessly. We must live our life with this consciousness that we must live a spiritual life. A supernatural life. A life that must be controlled by God himself. The Bible says in Micah chapter 2 verse 1. How that some people will lie down on their beds. And all they think about is how they will perpetuate evil the next morning by daybreak. All they think is how evil will come up of what they do. And we will just sleep helplessly. Not hiding our lives under any covering. That is why we are not expected to live an ordinary life. And thank God in this time and season, we are dealing with living the supernatural life. And today I'm going to be talking on the topic, the life in the Spirit. The life in the Spirit. When we talk about the life in the Spirit, we are talking about a life that is lived in accordance to the dictates of God's Word. A life that is lived in accordance to the dictates of God's Spirit. A life that is totally dependent on God. Depending on God for direction and for leadership. It is a life that is lived in the consciousness of God's presence. It's a life that is lived intentionally. You don't allow things to take you by surprise. You allow God to move in you and through you to reach out to the world. It is a life that is enabled by the Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. The Bible says that it's not by mind, nor by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The life in the Spirit is a life that is totally submissive or submitted to Jesus. It simply means that you cannot live a life in the Spirit without Jesus Christ. The only way we can live our lives in the Spirit is if we totally submit it to Christ. Without Christ, every other thing becomes a struggle. And a lot of people are in church today and they are going through a lot of struggles because they will not submit themselves to Christ. So I start on that note. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Have you given your life to Christ? A life of the Spirit becomes useless to talk about if you are not born again. That's where it begins. But quickly, let me run through the sermon as God speaks to our heart. Let's look at some characteristics of the life of the Spirit. In the first service, I dealt with it and I continued in the second service. So I will run through it so that I will get to the end of the message in this third service. A life of the Spirit is a life that is free from condemnation. A life of the Spirit is free from condemnation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 1 that we read. It says, therefore, now there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Once you are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore no condemnation for you. You are no more condemned. By your relationship with Jesus, by your encounter with Jesus, everything about condemnation becomes a thing of the past. Once you have an encounter with Jesus, you begin a new life. And the old is gone. According to 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do not keep staying in your guilt. Do not keep staying in your past. Do not keep staying in your mistakes. Sometimes the devil takes advantage of the mistake we made 1 year ago. For some 5 years ago. For some 10 years ago. For some 20 years ago. Every time you think about it, it becomes so fresh. You serve God and you lift up holy hands and worship God. But by the time you finish, the devil says, but you did it. But you did it. But you are a sinner. But you did that thing some years ago. And you begin to feel down and sad, and the guilt just comes upon you like what you just committed. But I'm here with the good news to tell you. Now there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The question I ask you is, are you in Christ Jesus? Once you deal with the aspect of being in Christ Jesus and you have given your life to Him, there is therefore no condemnation for you. I don't know what this very word is for in this third service, but you are living with guilt. You're living with fear. You're living in shame, not anybody knowing about it, but you know about it Because you are the one facing it. Every time without number, the devil comes to you to say, but you did it. You say, I've given my life to Christ. The devil says, but you did it. But you did it. And before long, you succumb to it. I have come with the good news today to let you know that so long as you are in Christ, that guilt is a thing of the past. So long as you are in Christ, that shame is a thing of the past. The blood of Jesus has paid the price. And you know that thing no longer stands against you. You need to come out of that guilt. You need to come out of that pain. You need to come out of that shame. No matter how long it is, God says, you are free. And I declare upon your life, you are free. You are not leaving the service with that guilt. You are not leaving the service with that pain. You are not leaving the service with that shame. For Jesus has set you free. Number two, a life in the Spirit is a life that acknowledges what Christ has done. A life that acknowledges what Christ has done. Give us verses 3 and 4. Romans 8, verses 3. Verse 3 and 4. It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of Moses could not even deliver us totally from sin. Not even rams, not blood, not bulls could save us. But the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ, it condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Paul pushed this to explain to us in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Paul began to say, the things I want to do, I see myself not doing it. The things I don't want to do, those are the things I find myself doing. But if Paul had ended in verse 15, then we Christians would have been, of most men, most miserable. Thank God Paul did not end the scripture in verse 15. Because this is the situation of some Christians hearing under the sound of my voice today. You said the things I want to do, I see myself not doing it. The things I don't want to do, those are the things I see myself doing. But he pushed it further. From verse 15 down, he began to speak until he got to verse 24. Verse 24, he said, oh wretched man. Please give me verse 24 of this same verse. Oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me from this guilt that I keep facing? Who shall deliver me from this sin I keep turning into? Day after day, I ask God forgiveness today. By tomorrow, I see myself in it. Who shall deliver me from the fear I go through? Who shall deliver me from this pain? But thank God, Paul did not end in the question without giving an answer on which Christianity is built. Verse 25. Verse 25 of that scripture. He said, I thank God through Jesus. I thank God through Jesus. Some of you will not understand it in the King JV. Let's go to NLT. In NLT of this same scripture, verse 25. It says, thank God. You see the exclamation. He has been in pain. He has been in dismay. He was almost giving up. But he got to a point that, thank God, the answer is in my struggle. Is that what the scripture says? The answer is in the works of my hands. The answer is in my strength. What does the scripture say? I can't hear you. Okay. The answer is in what? Is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. No matter what you're going through, the answer is in Jesus. The answer to that struggle is in Jesus. The answer to that guilt is in Jesus. Just allow Him. The answer to that pain is Jesus. The answer to the questions in your heart, as you're looking at me, the answer to that question is Jesus. Is Jesus. If only you shall know it. Don't forget, the second point is a life that acknowledges what God has done. If you will know it today, if you will believe it, then you will experience it. If you will know it today, if you will believe it, then you will experience it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. It says, "For he became sin who knew no sin, so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." He who knew no sin became sin, so that we will become the righteousness of God. If you can know it, as you have known today, if you can believe it, then you will enter into it. Number three, a life that is in the Spirit is a life that fulfills what the Spirit desires, not what the flesh desires. A life that fulfills what the Spirit desires. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Romans 8 verse 5. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Give it to me in NIV. I like the word desire that NIV used. "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires." So let me know what you desire, and I will tell you what is controlling you. Whether you are controlled by the flesh or by the Spirit. Check your desires. It's just like somebody said, if you are going to heaven, if Jesus comes and you are going to heaven, you might not know whether you are going to heaven or not. I said, that is not scriptural. Because there are marks to know whether you go to heaven. If you are going to heaven now, you know whether your heart is right with God. You know whether your heart, at least your own part. Let's leave the judgment to God. But you will know whether your heart is right with God. Are we together? So by the things you desire, you will know whether you are walking after the flesh or after the Spirit. "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on the things that the Spirit desire." Where is your mind? Where is your desire? What are the things you desire? As a man, as a woman, as a young boy, as a young girl, what are your desires? Are they in line with the Spirit of God or in line with the flesh? Every time we gather like this in church, people of God, there are always two sets of people. There are those who walk after the flesh, and there are those who walk after the Spirit. They come to church, but the question is, where do you belong? Where do you belong? Do you walk after the flesh or after the Spirit? The characteristics of the flesh and of the Spirit we'll see in Galatians chapter 5 from verse 19. Galatians 5 from verse 19 to 23. We see the fruits of the flesh. We see the fruits of the Spirit. We see them manifest. The act of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. In verse 20 continues. In verse 21 it continues. If these are the things found in our lives, then we are living in accordance to the flesh. But God is calling us to the life of the Spirit. Verse 22 began to say, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is patience." What are your desires? If we must live in the supernatural that God is speaking to us about in this time and season, then we must live our lives in accordance to the Spirit of God. Verse 7 and verse 8 of this same scripture, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 8, sorry. Romans 8, the fleshy mind. Romans 8, verse 7 and 8. It says the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Verse 8, those controlled by the sinful nature, they cannot do what? You are not talking to me. They cannot do what? they cannot please God. So it's not by coming to church or not coming to church. Not by lifting up holy hands. If you are not living in the spirit, you are living by the flesh, then you cannot please God. This is another scripture that talks about not pleasing God apart from faith, as we see in Hebrews chapter 11. You do not please God when you live according to the flesh. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20, the Bible says, by their fruit, what will happen? You shall know them. What kind of fruit do you bring out? Let me quickly look at the last part of our lessons today. The benefits of a life in the Spirit. We have looked at what a life in the Spirit is. We've talked about the characters of the life in the Spirit. The benefits of the life in the Spirit. Number one, we have assurance of eternal life. Hallelujah. We have assurance of eternal life. We know that we have eternal life, not like we will have it later. Verse 1, it says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are no longer condemned. We now have eternal life. Verse 6, give us verse 6 of Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 6. It says, for the carnally minded man, carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life. That's eternal life. When you are spiritually minded, you have life and peace. 1 John chapter 5, we've seen it in verse 13. It says, these things I've written to you, dear children of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Once you walk in the Spirit, you are living in eternal life. Not like you will have eternal life when you die. We now have eternal life. We have the God kind of life inside of us. Number two, not only that we will have eternal life, we have peace within and without. We have peace within and without. Some of us are struggling in our minds. Our minds have been unsettled. Troubles here and there. One thing I say is that peace is not the absence of trouble. That you're a peaceful person does not mean you don't have challenges. It just means that you are at rest even in the midst of trouble. It just means that you know God is in control. Two people can be going through the same situation. One man is troubled, the other man is at peace. Not because they are facing different situations. Because the man at peace knows that he has the God that is able to bring him out. That's what peace is. It's not an absence of trouble, but the fact that God is with me even as I go through that situation. For when you pass through the waters, they say it will not overflow you. It will not cover you up. When you pass through the fire, that's the man of peace. It will not burn you. When you walk in the Spirit, you have peace at all times. Number three, when you walk in the Spirit, it gives you an identity with Christ. Give me verse 9. Verse 9 of Romans chapter 8. It gives you an identity with Christ. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You don't belong to Christ if you don't walk in the Spirit. You don't belong to Christ if Jesus is not inside of you. You don't belong to Him. But once you walk in the Spirit, having accepted Christ, then you have an identity with Him. Verse 14 of Romans chapter 8. Verse 14 will push it further to say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Who are they? I didn't hear you, please. You have an identity with Christ. Once you walk in the Spirit, you are giving your life to Him. The question is, are you experiencing these benefits as a child of God? Verse 16 and 17, still on that point. Verse 16 and 17. Please, when you go home, take time to read the whole of Romans chapter 8. I wish I had all the time to explain the scripture, but I need to run so that I can meet up with my time. Verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit That is why I say you cannot. If you're a child of God, you say, I don't know that I'm a child of God. How would you say you don't know that you're a child of God? When the Spirit of God, the Bible says the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are sons. We are children of the Most High. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I want you to know that when you walk in the Spirit, you have an identity with Christ. Number four, as we walk in the Spirit, he quickens our mortal bodies. There's a quickening of our mortal body. He activates our mortal bodies. Sometimes you don't feel like praying, but you just see yourself praying the Holy Ghost. And you begin to come out of whatever depression or downness you're facing. Verse 11 of Romans chapter 8. Verse 11, it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then that same Spirit, some versions will say, that raised Christ from the dead, will quicken your mortal body. To activate it. It will activate it. You might be going through pains, but today there is deliverance for you. There is healing for you. Your mortal body will be quickened by the power of the Holy Ghost. It says it quickens it. Our mortal body, not our spirit man now, our mortal body, he will quicken it. And the last today on the benefits, he delivers us from fear. He delivers us from fear. The life in the spirit, if you have not entered today, there's an opportunity for you to walk in this realm. Maybe you're already feeling some, but some are still tormenting you. But as God is taking us through the series of living in the supernatural, God is asking that we walk with him. We walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We do the things he wants us to do. Verse 15 of our scripture, Romans 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We have not received that spirit. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's the spirit we have received. The spirit of adoption, not the spirit of bondage. Fear is bondage. When you live in fear, you are living in bondage. But today, that shackles will be broken. The chains will fall. And God will deliver you from every form of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. It's not the spirit God has given us. When you walk in the Spirit, it takes away every form of fear. Your child is leaving the house, you're scared. You are going to the office, you're scared. You have an accident. You are sleeping, you cannot sleep with your two eyes closed. Fear is bondage. Can hold you down. But a life in the Spirit knows that God has not given us the spirit of bondage to fear, but the spirit of adoption. Found in verse 15. As I conclude this message, the life of the Spirit is only possible, I say it again, in Christ. When you meet Christ, you begin to enter. Whatever has kept you from this life, today God is asking that you come back to him. You might be born again. You might have given your life to Christ, but you are still experiencing guilt. You are still experiencing fear. You are still experiencing pain. You are still experiencing shame. All God is asking of you today is bring it to the altar. Bring it to him and drop it before him. He says, come unto me, all ye will labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May you please close your eyes as we pray. I want to ask a set of people to run to the front quickly. You're here, you know you are facing a kind of guilt or shame or pain in your body or your mind. and you want to drop it at the feet of Jesus, I want you to run to the front and come and kneel down at the altar and talk to God about it. You are in this service and you know there is a guilt, there is a shame. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You're here and you want to say, Lord, I enter that realm. Can you come forward quickly? Wherever you are, come forward quickly. Do we have anyone like that? You're all I want.
You're all I want.
You're all. One more time.
Oh,
you're all I want.
You're all.
The life of the Spirit is not possible if you're not a prayerful person or a person who studies God's Word. And you want to say, Lord, I want to receive grace in your presence to study your Word. I want to receive grace for fire in my altar. Wherever you are, I want you to stand up as I pray with you. You want to say, Lord, I want to receive grace in my altar. Grace for prayer. Grace to study God's Word. Stand up wherever you are. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. For some of you, your altar is already filled with ashes. God, strengthen me. Strengthen me, Jesus. I receive your strength in the place of my altar. In the name of Jesus. Father, I commit these ones to your hands. My brothers and my sisters that are standing, I declare upon them freshness in the place of their altar. Freshness in the place of their altar. Wisdom as they study your word. Fresh revelation. In the name of Jesus, every grace to pray, let it come upon them. Let the spirit of prayer and intercession rest upon them. In the name of Jesus, receive the fire of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. May we all rise up on our feet. Rise up on your feet wherever you are and just pray this prayer with me as I begin to round off. Can you lift up your right hand and declare with me, Oh Lord, I can't hear you, Oh Lord. Let every deadness in me be quickened by the Holy Spirit right now. Declare it again, Oh Lord, let every deadness in me be quickened by the Holy Spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, begin to pray that prayer. Whatever is dead in my life, whatever is dead in my system, every dead cell, every dead dream, every dead vision, every deadness, wherever it is manifesting, every dead ambition, every dead zeal for God, every dead zeal for the service of God, every dead zeal to pursue that assignment, every dead zeal in the place of my assignment, Lord Jesus, let it receive an activation. Let it be quickened in the name of Jesus. Receive life. Receive life. Every dead relationship, kalabakunda payada, in the decade, receive life by the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. The Bible says, if the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal body. Therefore, I pray for you. Every dead cell in your body, every dead cell in your system, I declare, receive a quickening. Receive a quickening. Receive a quickening. In the name of Jesus. Every dead relationship, you are living together with your spouse, but that relationship is already towards divorce. That relationship looks like there's no relationship. It looks like the relationship is ending or ended already. I pray for you. Let your relationship receive a quickening. Let it receive a quickening. In the name of Jesus, freshness comes upon you. In the name of Jesus, every dead dream, every dead vision, every dead dream, the dream God has given to you, you started it, but it looks like the fire is gone down. Every dead zeal to serve God, every deadness manifesting in your life, by the power in the name of Jesus, I declare, receive life. I declare, receive life. I declare, receive life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Can you shout a believing amen? Put your hands together for Jesus. I want you to lift up your voice and begin to pray that as you go this week, the Lord will be a wall of fire. Round about you, round about your spouse, round about your children, round about your dwelling, round about your property, round about your work, the works of your hands. Begin to declare, Lord, in this week and beyond, I declare you will be a protective wall. If somebody speaking, he says, as they have spoken in my ears, so shall I do. Somebody speak forth. As I go this week, the protective wall of the Lord surrounds me in the name of Jesus. Declare and say, the Lord will be my glory in the inside and in the outside, in my place of work, in my house. The glory of the Lord will radiate all around me in the name of Jesus. You will be my glory as I go in this week in the name of Jesus. You will cause doors to open for me. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. I didn't hear that amen. As you go this week, I speak forth to you, the Lord shall be a wall round about you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. As you go in this week, harm shall be far from you. Disaster shall be far from you. Catastrophe will be far from your dwelling. In the name of Jesus, the Lord will watch over you. In the name of Jesus, the Lord shall be your glory. No plan of the enemy will come close to you. Wherever the sole of your feet shall tread upon, in this week you shall possess. In the name of Jesus, I speak for to you, go and succeed. Go and prosper. Go and make a headway. Go and come back with your testimony. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. May the Lord bless and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May He lift up the light of His countenance over you and grant you peace both now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you as you go.
Thank you for sharing the moment with us. We hope you have been blessed and we look forward to hearing from you. You can reach us via WhatsApp, SMS, or calls on 090-1137-1118. You can visit or worship with us at the Citadel of Impact, New Estate Baptist Church, behind Silver Mall, near Sakale Bus Stop, Buhari Expressway, Dusse Alaji, Abuja. Or join us on Facebook and YouTube at NEBC Dusse Abuja, on Instagram at TCI_Abuja, or MixLR audio channel at TCI-Abuja. Our worship time is 7:30 a.m., 9 a.m., and 10:30 a.m. on Sundays and on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Till we come your way again, stay blessed and stay safe. Grace to you.